In this episode, we discuss the practical applications of artificial intelligence in financial services and banking with the founder and CEO of Cognaes, Vahe Andonians. Vahe is a software engineer, data scientist, academic, senior lecturer, and visionary with decades of experience in the financial services industry. In 2018, Vahe tapped into an issue many businesses are facing. Too often, businesses are sitting on immense data stores without a good system for accessing all that information. Through Cognaes' intelligent document processing products, clients such as banks, insurers, and asset managers can now transform unstructured data into an even better asset that drives more informed decisions and delivers powerful competitive advantages. I am your host, RJ Lumba. We hope you enjoy the show. If you like the episode, click to subscribe.
RJ Lumba is the executive chairman of Market Insight Media and the managing partner of GrowthCap. He is the host of Great Entrepreneurs, a podcast for driven entrepreneurs and business owners. Our podcast covers all topics related to the entrepreneurial journey, from ideation to execution to optimization and to reaping the rewards of a well-run business. In the minutes ahead, we'll share with you unique insights and tactics from some of today's most accomplished and inspiring entrepreneurs.
Vahe, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today. It's a delight to be with you.
Thank you.
So you're a serial entrepreneur and you're a successful one at that. I'm curious, there's a lot of media out there today about what it's like to be an entrepreneur. And in particular, Brian Chesky, the founder and CEO of Airbnb, has been very vocal about how sometimes entrepreneurs don't pay a lot of attention to their personal life or their personal relationships because they're so focused on building their business. I'm curious about your first experience building a company and how that was. Was there ever this element of loneliness, having to be kind of the leader at the top of your organization and not having that surrounding group to help you through that journey?
Oh, yeah, I think that's definitely true. I think, to be honest, I think what qualifies a good entrepreneur is a very, very short memory. And at least the way I think about it, it is mostly loneliness and mostly pain. But at the end, it is a lot of satisfaction. So it's like alpinists who go up on the Mount Everest during the climb, it's really just pain. But at the end, you are very, very happy. You're very satisfied. And also true that it's hard on everybody around you. At least in my experience, I can also confirm that. But you hope for the best and you hope that after a certain size of the company, after exiting or after a period of less stress, you can heal. Be passionate about something. And if they're very passionate, then you go very much towards one thing. Everybody else pays the price for that.
Mm-hmm. And you sold your first company to Moody's. Was that the intention when you had started the company? Is that I'm going to build this to exit? Or you saw an opportune moment?
No, I never built a company with the idea to exit it. That is never a part of the idea. There are times when that is just the best path forward. And then you do that path. But otherwise than that, I usually don't start building with the mindset to sell it.
Before that first company, had you worked in the corporate world or did you go right into being an entrepreneur?
Yeah, I said indeed. I worked for a bank, which is now, and I think back then it was the second largest bank. Now it's the largest bank in Austria. And after being a trader, I was managing a hedge fund, basically. And we started with the CTA. I was very junior there, obviously, but we were doing a Turkish CTA and then a Arab hedge fund. The idea was to take it out and to make a separate destiny. But that didn't happen because the bank didn't want to do it. So that was the moment when I decided to leave.
Let's talk about Cognaes and how you came up with the idea.
Yeah, so I mean, AI has always been part of my life almost from 96 basically on. And obviously, the topic changed a lot. It's still the same words, but what you're actually doing is very different. And in the later startup, the idea was to be more horizontal and more really utilizing truly deep learning, more other technology. which is now, of course, a no-brainer because the whole world now knows that deep learning is really something that works. But imagine starting like 3.5 years ago, it was a very different world back then. Back then, you would argue with a potential client if deep learning is a viable solution or not. That answer has been done. Very clear that it is. But back then, that was not so clear.
Mm-hmm. Now, I guess, where are you in the kind of life stage of the company? Are you in kind of like the growth phase, rapid scale, kind of moderated growth?
Yeah, I would say we're in the early growth phase. So I think we have a healthy set of clients we're very, very grateful for. I do think that we add value to them. I'm pretty sure that we are, but we're also very thankful for them. But we start to grow in terms of client base right now pretty rapidly.
Mm-hmm. And who's the typical user for Cognize? Which markets do you focus on?
Financial industry. So basically banks, insurance companies, big commercial real estate.
Mm-hmm. And currently, do you have investors backing the company?
Yes, we do have a set of esteemed and cherished venture capitalists and also some angel investors.
Got it. You know, one area that we like to talk about, especially with entrepreneurs, is how they're able to kind of establish productive cultures for their companies. Do you have a philosophy on culture for your business?
I mean, I agree with that culture is very important. There's this famous quote, I think it says culture eats strategy for breakfast. I think it is in the long term, especially extremely important. But I mean, I think that any startup starts with culture from the entrepreneur, because the small circle that you build around you are usually people who have the same mindset that you have, which is, you know, extremely customer focused, really trying to add value to customers and potential customers, and trying to solve a problem. And not, in our case, and in my case, not being married to technology and then trying to find a problem that the technology solves, but more to the actual problem that you're trying to solve, and then iterate through different technologies and different methods to actually solve. Mm-hmm. Which, of course, requires a different mindset, because you need to learn new technologies all the time. You need to learn new things to address the same problem. Then having learned one thing, then trying to find a problem for this.
Mm-hmm. What do you think the key elements are to being a good entrepreneur?
I think the most important thing is perseverance. I hate to destroy the image of being an entrepreneur is such a beautiful thing. If you're doing it to get rich, if you're doing it to have a certain kind of lifestyle, just don't do it because it's too hard, it's too difficult, it's too painful. And what you really need is perseverance. You need to have this ability to endure this pain, endure this not doing things that you would like to do, but doing things that are actually important. That is not easy.
And did you have a sounding board as you were kind of going through the process, either in the first company or your current one, someone like a mentor of sorts?
Yeah, I mean, our current CEO has always been a good mentor to me. His name is Al. I started this company with the mind of having him on board. He was busy with another company about 4 days after starting this company with Joe. Yes, for about 13 years, he's a mentor to me. He helped me in exit with movies and other things. He mentors to me, and there are a couple of others. Yeah, you definitely do have people around you that support you.
And currently, I'm sure you've learned a lot, you know, throughout the years about what's the most effective use of your time. Curious, how do you split up your day?
The question is who you ask. If you ask me, I do think that I'm spending my time efficiently, but you know, I have a board, I'm sure they think a little bit different. And I have employees, they also think different. I think you get used to that. Everybody thinks that you should do something different. But at the end, we need to trust your instincts. And because every startup has an element, you can do a lot of data, and you should do a lot of data, right? But it also has an element of mutual faith. Some elements where you say like this, I can't measure, and I just believe that this is true. And this element, you can't discard away. I mean, everything would be like totally number driven and very easy and a no-brainer, then everybody would do it. I trust my instinct. that I spend my time correctly on certain things, and sometimes I'm wrong. Actually, I think more often than I'm right and wrong, but that's totally okay. As a founder, you don't need to be right all the time. What you need to be is you need to do it a few times when it really matters right. Right? You can do, like, everybody does about 10,000 decisions a day. Most of them can, like, up on the autopilot. It can be wrong or not wrong. That's not so important. You make maybe 3 to 10 decisions a year and it really matters. The question is, are you right on those 10? And percentage-wise, 10 to 10,000 each day, like, it's nothing, right? So it's not a question of how often you're right. You have to be in important things, right? And I'm sure that I have wasted a lot of time on things that in hindsight I could have done. But at the end of the day, I think when it comes to the really important things, I'll also be enough right on those things to be successful.
And do you have an idea or an opinion about how quickly you should be making decisions? And does that concern you if you think you might be taking too long to make a decision?
This is a very difficult question to answer because there's two elements to it, right? So one is, I think you should make decisions only if they're necessary to do. Also teaching at the university and the dean of the university, a president of the university, once said in a speech, I was very interesting. He said, like, you can learn a lot from the church because they make decisions only if it's necessary. So that's an important element because it's not advisable to make decisions when there is no necessity. You should only make a decision when it's necessary. But when it's necessary, you have to be fast, right? And really fast, making the decision, and also very fast, implementing and executing. So if you look at it that way, you have to be very fast. But then if you look at things, very often I make decisions much later than some people would think. And that is because I don't feel that making a decision is necessary right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at it this way. As soon as it's necessary, it has to be super fast. And as long as it's not necessary, delay it as much as you can. Because any decision unlocks you also into a path. And one thing that really makes the difference is that a startup is flexible, it's like moldable, right? A large company has all the advantages on their side, right? They have money, they have the brand, they have the function, they have people, the talent, everything, right? But why would a startup even be successful? The only reason is your flexibility. You can change course very fast, that you can, you know, do these things. And that also requires that you make decisions when you need to do that. Because every decision will lock you to some path. And now the room of possible paths is smaller, and you need to keep that room as big as you can.
Mm-hmm. And organizationally, now, how do you structure, you know, your company? Is it that there are separate groups that have separate KPIs, or do you try to have the organization operate as a whole and decision making is kind of made organically with input from all sides?
Definitely the second one. So, doing, you know, a org chart and KPIs and these things, they're necessary. Obviously, they're necessary, but they're only necessary at a certain size. I read once a book, the English title was Constructive Destruction. And it started with a chapter where they said, like, what is, you know, the best organizational structure for a company? And then they said, they argued, the best structure would be an orchestra because everybody knows what he or she needs to do. And then they meet and suddenly they produce something extremely beautiful, right? And there is no hierarchy that sense, and there is no, you know, digital making, everything happens organically. So obviously, but that's the image that I'm driving to. I'm trying to this image, like, look, when we were in a garage with 5 people, there was no structure, right? It worked perfectly. So at some point, you cannot scale this, but 50, you still may be able to do that. But if it's like 500, you are not able to do it anymore. So then you need a structure. But the structure is not a thing that you should strive to. It's a solution to a problem. The problem that you can't communicate in addition to 500 people well enough. If you could, then you wouldn't need for 500 people and even for 5,000 people, you wouldn't need actually a structure. I don't see a structure as something that is great to have, but as something that needs to solve a problem, which is your communication problem, your vision problem, which is the problem to coordinate things together and go for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes with a bag of problems, right? It really comes with a bag of problems.
Mm-hmm. You know, back to your decision-making comment about not forcing yourself to make a decision if you don't have to make one. What's your view on kind of delegating decisions, like, and how do you empower your organization to do that?
I think that any decision should be, and here, you know, I might also have a too entrepreneurial, too small mindset, but I think this, every decision should be made by the person who has the best idea or the best knowledge. So it sounds very logical, right? But it also is against hierarchies. It also is against building up people, because building up people, you need to have them make decisions. But if you constantly say, no, this guy's better to make this decision here, she should do this, then this process never happens, right? So it's not something that should generally be done that way. But I think in the stages where I am involved in a company, there it should be done. That always the person is best fit to make this decision should make this decision.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, we'll get into the last part of our interview as we kind of come to a close here. But before we do that, I'd like to ask, like, what drives you with this business? Are you driven to see it become a certain size, to accomplish a certain amount in the industry? Are you driven by the act itself of engaging in building the business and seeing how, you know, great it can become as an organization? What ultimately drives you?
In this particular company, I see this. We are at the moment where the world is really changing, or has already changed, but it's still just the beginning. And we can compare it to the last industrial revolution. So the first thing is small decisions that people are doing are changing the trajectory of how the future actually looks. Small decisions, right? One, two people, I mean, it's generally true, but in this industry, it's really true because it affects billions of people, right? Any decision of these great minds changed the world for 8 billion people 30 years down the road. I like to be part of this. Why? Because I think it's very important to add to this. But this one is different because it's the first time where we actually need to challenge the image of what is it to be a human. We usually define ourselves by our IQ, by our EQ, and these kind of things, right? So we have to have a new way of what is it to be a human. And I think that's a very important question, and I would like to be part of thinking the answer to this question.
Excellent. What's one piece of advice that you would give to another entrepreneur?
Well, I think the most important is really this at the end of the day. You have to understand that it is really, really hard thing. You have to be passionate for what you do. You really have to have a passion for the problem you're solving. Whatever it is, you have to have a huge passion for it. On perseverance. No matter if you're successful or not, by the way, it's still going to be fun. If you can look back and say, I did 100%, it will still be wonderful and satisfying to you if you can answer those questions. Yes, I did the last 5 years, 10 years, whatever, 100% of what I could. The actual economical success is not very good.
Mm-hmm. Okay, last question. Is can you tell us about another activity outside of work that you're very passionate about?
The first thing that comes into mind is skiing. I think skiing is the one thing that I like. It's also, I think, even almost mandatory as an Austrian citizen for this year.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank you for taking the time to chat with me today. I know our audience will find this very insightful. Thank you, Vahe.
Thank you. My pleasure.